Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Good morning, good morning. This is so fun. My favorite thing on the planet, I think, is sharing God's word. And I'm going to open with something out of the passion that was brought to my attention this morning that the Lord wanted me to declare. Lord, who dares to dwell with you? This is Psalm 15. Who presumes the privilege of being close to you, living next to you in the shining place of glory? Who are those who daily dwell in the life of the Holy Spirit? They are passionate and wholehearted, always sincere, and always speaking the truth, for their hearts are trustworthy. They refuse to slander or insult others. They never listen to gossip or rumors, nor would they ever harm another with their words. I felt like the Lord said, this is a possible place for us to dwell. It's possible for us to be this. And we want, most people I know, that would ever come through the doors of a church or claim a relationship with God, they want to be right with him. They want to be living in this place. And for some time now, since when Matt asked if I was available to share, I'm like, oh, I don't even have to pray about that, or do I? But it was really fun to know I could do this. And the Lord said, I want you to talk about the power of words. And I feel like it's a topic as believers we should visit frequently in our walk with the Lord. And words are weighty. They carry weight. And we sling them around like they don't matter. And what happens is we end up living a life that we didn't want, but our words have created worlds that we're living in. And I find it very fascinating that the world out there, apart from God, will teach their staffs. They'll have retreats. They'll have seminars that will tell their workers to be careful about what they say about the business. Be careful about what they say about production. They teach them godly principles because it's a fact. They don't teach it as a godly principle, but you and I have this opportunity to walk in what God said works if we understand the power of words. So I felt like the Lord said, I want you to talk about inner words. I want you to talk about outer words that are spoken over you. And I want you to visit words that you speak. So let's start with inner words. Do you know that thoughts are just words? Very rarely is it just a picture. Have you noticed words are associated? So what are these inner words that regularly run through the tract of your mind and life? Like, what are the words that maybe your best friend, the person who knows you the most, doesn't even know you're saying? And does that really matter? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And throughout Scripture, that will be backed up, that Jesus is the Word. He's the living Word. There's a real emphasis on the power of words and Jesus being the Word. In Genesis 1, it says that God, what did he do? God said, let there be light. And what happened? Light came. It says God said. God spoke. And it happened. From the very beginning, he's given us a template of the power of our words. And I feel like what's so important is that our inner words are what we think. If you'll turn to Luke 6:45. The Bible says a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So why is our inner words matter? because they're eventually going to become our outer words. And I think it's really interesting that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I know that it's talking about a good man and an evil man, but if you read earlier, it's talking about a good tree and a bad tree, and you can know a tree by its fruit and all of this. So it's really talking and teaching us how to identify something. So how do we make this personal? I can tell you when something comes out my mouth that surprises me, it's an indicator that I'm meditating on the wrong thing. Can you guys agree with that? And that indicator should make you go, whoa, what am I believing that is so off? The importance of what you're meditating on, because it's going to become what you speak, it will start creating actual things that you will walk through. This isn't hooey-gooey, mystical stuff. It's the Word of God. And it says it's so important that we meditate on the right things in our inner man, so what comes out is the right thing to be displayed, for God to work, to watch over, to perform. And I feel like this inner world, we think nobody's going to call us out on it. I have come to the place in my life where I said, God, I want that what goes through my mind, will, and emotions to be so pure that if it was a ticker taper across my forehead, I would not be embarrassed or ashamed that anybody would see it. Because I have a revelation that he sees it. He hears it. He knows what I'm saying to myself. He knows what I'm saying about others before I let it out my mouth. And what's being done in secret will control you. What you bring out to the light and say, God, I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to be saying this about that person. I don't want to keep record of wrongs. When you start to acknowledge how powerful your words are, you're going to change what you're thinking. Those internal words, just think of it as massive amounts of words. I use this illustration frequently. If you had heard, hey, there's this great new movie out, and you kept hearing a buzz about it, and you thought, is that the Red Box? I'll go ahead and get this movie. You take it home, and you put it in, and 10 minutes in, you're thinking, whoa, this is trash. Yuck. Ugh. I don't know why anybody thought this was good. What would you do? Eject it and return it. So next time you're standing in the grocery store and you think, oh, I'll get a movie, and you go to Redbox, are you going to check that same trashy, yucky movie out? Why do you do it internally? Why are you listening to those trashy, yucky things that God isn't saying about you? Because what happens is you have to be willing to let the Holy Spirit shine light on that, and you say, God, I want to change those words I'm listening to internally. And I promise it not only will change your outward experience, it will change your belief. So the internal words are really important, and it's really okay to say, Holy Spirit, am I off there? You don't have to go find it. He'll show you. It's his job to lead you, to guide you, to show you things to come, to teach you. He's the one that's to shine light. You know, he's also going to be the one that corrects us. And I don't know about you, but the correction of the Lord is beautiful. I know I'm loved when he says, Beth, you shouldn't have said that. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Give me another opportunity because I'm going to triumph over that. It's not a chance for the enemy to kick you and you know, it's so interesting. The enemy will tempt you. And then who kicks you when you do what he tempted you? Who shames you? Who condemns you? It's the enemy. It's just that vicious cycle. So I've learned when I blow it, I just say, God, I am so sorry. And I apply the blood of Jesus. It still has the same power that it did when I got saved. It still washes me white as snow. But there is a powerful thing that happens when God says you shouldn't be thinking that. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The power of what you're thinking is really the power of what you're speaking to yourself internally. So just let that, just say, God, how am I doing there? What's that like? It's really interesting. I'm going to read. I really feel like what we listen to in us is what will eventually be what we believe. And what we believe is what we'll end up doing, right? I had a mom that was really good about teaching me about, Beth, you really don't want to say that. And, you know, as a kid, they're like, yeah, you're a mom. What do you know? But I started noticing a consistency of when I spoke what I wanted instead of what I was feeling, things changed. Could we just do the simplest illustration of you wake up and you feel really kind of yucky physically? Like, oh, you think, man, what's wrong? Do I have the flu? But what I've learned is if I say, oh, Lord, I just thank you that your word says it's life and health to all my flesh. I just pray for myself. You said believers can lay hands on the sick. I'm a believer. I'm laying hands on me. And what happens is if you take a moment and declare what God says instead of what you feel, circumstances change. But I've done the opposite. Man, I feel yucky. I mean, have such a terrible day. I bet I have the flu that so-and-so had. I wonder, like, I haven't said it out loud, but it's swirling in my mind. And then Tim says, hey, how are you doing? Man, I feel horrible. And the more I do that, exponentially, I feel horrible. I am not saying we don't acknowledge facts. But I'm saying there is a truth that trumps my facts. And I reach up to the truth of the word of God and said, God, thank you that you're my healer and your joy is my strength. And what happens is we start grabbing what he said instead of what I feel, and how I feel changes every single time. So I highlighted a verse on my paper and I have no idea why. So I'm going to find out if this is where we're going. Yes, it is. Proverbs 4:21 out of the Passion. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from that flows the wellspring of life. So your inner words, I feel like the Lord just said, Beth, would you just keep a guard about your inner words, your thoughts? What are you saying to yourself? What are you saying about others privately that they don't know? It will affect how you interact with them. If you have a judgment or if you have something against them and you feel that come out and you think, oh, I can't believe my boss did that again. Maybe you guys have perfect bosses or anything like that, but all of us, when you work in the out there, you have opportunities. When you work with people, you have opportunities to get angry, offended, be overlooked, whatever. But when I find myself going, oh, I can't believe, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I just thank you that this is an opportunity for me to put this person before you and ask that the eyes of their heart be flooded with light. Would you just let them know the hope to which you've called them to? 20 seconds, I went from being kind of naughty and critical and it could have gone bad to acknowledging that is not going to be what I listen to because it's not going to be how I behave. And if you will ask the Holy Spirit about these things, you'll find about your kids or about your mate or about your boss, you've started keeping the wrong words flowing. And God says, if you would impart life there, I'll change it. If you'll speak what I'm saying, then I can watch over it to perform it. You know, it's really interesting because God's word is forever settled in heaven. It says heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain forever, right? The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God remains forever. It says that God watches over his word to perform it. The Bible says he hastens to perform his word. It says it's active and alive. It's full of living substance, right? That's what God said. So if I am stuck and I'm internally thinking wrong, believing wrong words, what if I start exchanging those for life-giving, active words that will change my world? The one thing I found is nobody can do this for you. You can't take a pill. You can't push a button. You can't pull a lever. You get to show up with God and just say, God, I've been stuck here because I'm listening to the same script. I don't believe this is what you want for me. So what do you want me to think on? And when you start changing that, I promise it will change how you see and what you go through. Because God's faithful in that. So very faithful. The word says, fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life, radiant health into the very core of your being. So above all else, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect who you are. Let's go to outer world words, meaning just things that have been spoken over me. Might have been when you were in grade school. Maybe you were made fun of. Maybe you had an abusive father. Maybe you had an abusive mother. Maybe you weren't the favored child. I mean, I think as many people that are in here, we could just think up so many different scenarios. But I just want you to locate where you are. What do you, in your current situation of life, still listen to? What label has been put on you that you give power to, and God didn't say it? Is it you'll never amount to anything? God didn't say that. Is it you're a screw-up and you'll always be a screw-up? God didn't say that. But until you acknowledge what label from the outside you've let be placed on you and you submit to, you can't take it off. And it has power as long as you keep feeding it. I am fascinated how when truth comes and you take truth, how it totally sets you free. Sounds like a scripture. If you know the truth, what happens? And I want to suggest it's not just I can quote the truth. I know a lot of people who quote the truth, but they don't know the truth. And when you, it's a start to quote it, but when you don't take it and apply it, it will not trump the other labels you're living under. You should not live under the word of anybody else if it doesn't match what God says. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. A couple months ago, I was sitting at the kitchen table and the Lord said, "Hey, Beth, do you know what the most expensive ink pen is worth?" What a question. I super love talking with God. He's fascinating and he's fun. And I said, "No, like, why would I care?" But no, he goes, "Look it up." What do you think the most expensive ink pen is worth? $1,470,000. And like my mind just goes, why? The little nib on the end is 18 karat gold, has 33 carats worth of diamonds on it. But then I get to thinking, well, what would you do with it? And you'd have it under lock and key, and you wouldn't want anybody to see it, or they'd steal it, so why would you even own it? Because you certainly wouldn't write with it. But God wasn't asking me to think all of that, but I did quickly. He says, why is there a pen that's valued at $1,470,000? I said, because somebody will pay for it. He goes, what did I pay for people? You're worth what you were paid for. And if you're believing any label other than you are the righteousness of God in Christ and you were bought with a price and you're seated in heavenly places and that he laid down and gave up his one and only son for you so that what? You could be conformed into his image and change the world and bring heaven to earth. If you're believing anything other than that, it's a lie. And what are you going to do about it? Because God won't change your mind. He said you change your mind based on what you find out that I said. Yes. Amen? Do you know our transformation is not limited except in conjunction with us renewing our mind? And if I'm always willing to let God renew my mind, there's no limit to the transformation that I can experience, that you can experience. So those outer words, please recognize them. Just while you're sitting there, just say, Holy Spirit, have I let a label that a teacher gave me or a sibling that was so hateful or a parent, have I let something speak louder than what you say? If something comes to mind, I'm going to suggest you repent, you tear that label off as an act of faith and say, no more. And there'll be some retraining of your habits, but when you acknowledge it's there and you've come under it, did you know that the Bible says you're a slave to whom you obey? Some of you have been obeying a label that somebody gave you that is so ungodly. I want you to take care of it now, not when you stand before the Lord and he says, all right, I'm going to say something that I don't have scripture to back up, but I feel like the Lord talked to me about one day. And my dad died when I was 21, and it was unexpected. And he'd only been walking with the Lord for a year. And so it made me start thinking about death. And I said, Lord, why does it say that you're going to wipe away all of our tears? Because I can't imagine that I would be sad to be standing before you. And I've heard preachers say that it's because we're going to be so in awe of you that we'll be crying. Well, I'm so in awe of him now, I cry all the time. That's not it. And he says, Beth, when people stand before me, I'm going to show them what I intended, and they're going to realize what they picked. And I don't want them to go into glory with regret. That has motivated me, that God, I want to live all that you have for me, but I can't live all that he has for me if everybody else is dictating who I am and what I can do and what I can't do. But I spend time with him. I say, who do you say I am? He goes, Beth, who do you say I am? And it is so in relation of who I think he is for me to see who I am. If you don't think God's good, I promise you, your life isn't good. Can I share a personal story? I've been through a lot of disappointment, and there's recently been some major disappointments of just, God, what are you doing? Or where are you? Or your word says this and this, you know. And he said, Beth, and he took me back to John the Baptist. Are you guys familiar with that story? John the Baptist was the first human other than Joseph and Mary to recognize the Savior. He was in his mom's womb, and whoop, he recognized Jesus, just walked into the room, okay? You should read the story. It's fascinating. But he knew that he was a precursor. He was the one paving the way, saying, one who's coming is greater than I, and all of that. Like, he fulfilled a really awesome role. But then he ends up in prison. And I want you to know, he was discouraged. He was, I don't understand this. You know, this is what I believed, and this is what's happening. And he sends somebody to Jesus. Are you really who you said you are? And Jesus says, tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, those who are in prison are set free. John's in prison. Jesus said something very powerful. Do you know what it is? Blessed is he who is not offended in me. John couldn't understand what God was doing, so he was stuck. I have been in situations where I couldn't understand what God was doing, and it started affecting my faith. It started affecting my walk. And God said, I didn't ask you to lean on your own understanding. Why were you abandoned as a child? I don't know. But what I know is God said he'll never leave you or forsake you. Why did that happen? I don't know, but I promise you, it's a trap of the enemy for you to figure out what God's not telling you. I'll just say, God, I have questions, and if you're willing to answer those, I'm available, but I'm not going to seek out those answers myself. I'm going to ask you for wisdom. I'm going to ask that you show me. But if you start taking on offense, because God, where were you? Instead, he says, Beth, what do you know about me? God, you'll never leave me or forsake me. God, you're right beside me. You're an ever-present help in time of trouble. Has anybody else said this? God, I feel like you're in Zimbabwe. Did you go on vacation? It's like, of course I'm in Zimbabwe, but I'm here too. But I find that if I start on that track of feeling sorry for me because I'm in pain and things aren't working and I don't understand it, if I make that my focus, do you know what I do? I exchange sympathy for a solution. If I want you to feel sorry for me because it is so hard, and can we all just agree, everybody here, is life hard? Did God tell us life would be hard? Why are we shocked? But he called us to live in a way that when we go through hard and we hurt and we suffer loss and we get cheated and we get overlooked, that we have something that we draw from and we walk it out different than the world. You know, have you ever gone through a season of something being so hard and you're driving home from work and there's some kind of, I don't even know, don't laugh at me, but some kind of bottle of whiskey or bourbon or something on the billboard and it says, you deserve it, you've had a hard day. I thought, devil, you're such a liar. I deserve a double dose of the Holy Ghost. But I want to ask you something. We have to live in a world that's hard, but if we're not stewarding our words and taking his word as what we're supposed to be listening to, what happens when temptation comes? The Bible says Jesus was tempted in every single way every one of us have been tempted. But it doesn't tell us about it except in the wilderness. And it says he was tempted of the devil. So we have an incident of what that temptation looked like. Do you want to know something? Jesus wanted what the enemy was offering, or it wasn't a temptation. It's a temptation if it's trying to get you off course or if it looks enticing. I can't speak for Jesus in the sense, but it says it was a temptation. So what it tells me is it looked appealing or it offered something he didn't currently have, right? So that's what I mean. I'm not trying to say, oh, Jesus really wanted what the devil said. But it was a temptation. And all of us know the definition of temptation is, I'll give you this if you'll do that. Everything that was offered to him was already going to be his, but the devil was trying to shortcut him. And what I've learned is if I don't do what Jesus did in temptation, I set myself up for vulnerability. And what did Jesus do on each one of those temptations? It is written. It is written. So he took this word of God that's active and alive, it's full of substance, and it will change what you live if you take it. And he said, it is written. You're going to have to tell your feelings, shut up. I very rarely want to do this when I feel like this. But I've done it enough to know that my feelings lie to me. They're terrible leaders. They're good indicators. If my feelings are really funky and in the depths and I'm feeling like a bunch of junk, I'll say, Holy Spirit, when did I start believing a lie and which lie is it? And I go to that to have it uprooted. So the importance of what's been spoken to you. Do you live more by what is wrong, not true, spoken by somebody who shouldn't have that kind of authority? Are you letting your purpose be stolen by listening to the wrong words? The third world, words we speak. I was raised listening to Lester Sommerall teaching about alien entities, demons and deliverance, what faith is, the gifts and ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I would get in the car, my mom had a teaching tape on. So from a young age, I heard a lot that at the time irritated me, but I was listening. And today I'm so very, very thankful. But it was really, I heard a lot of teaching on what you say matters. And what's interesting in church culture today, the people I'm around, they're like, oh, that's that name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, people. I said, you bet, whatever you're naming, you're claiming, trust me. And I'm not saying for any other purpose, but if you want the promises of God, you take possession of them how? Speaking them. And we have a responsibility there to do that. And I've just through the years had some really super fun conversations with people. There was this one guy that worked at a magazine, and he was always saying, cursing God, taking his name in vain. Some people just say words like, damn it, and they say it's a bad habit. I'm saying you're releasing a curse and you're damning whatever you're talking about, whether it's your child, whether it's your business. I mean, you think it's innocent. The enemy loves it because it's not innocent. You just gave permission. That's how the world works in the kingdom of speaking words. And this person kept taking the Lord's name in vain. And my friend went to him and said, do you know what scripture says to the person who takes the Lord's name in vain? And this graphic artist wasn't even a believer. He goes, oh, I'm in so much trouble. Here was a man who did not know Jesus and read the scripture of what comes upon somebody who takes the name Lord's name in vain, and it changed him. He didn't do it again. And I'm like, we're believers. We should be believing believers that have the word of God in our mouth and we speak it, right? So did you know that our words can move mountains? I didn't say that. Jesus said it. Mark 11:23. What's it say? Shout at the mountain, speak to the mountain. I mean, it literally says, use your words. Speak to the mountain and it will be removed. Do you know what I know on the other side? You can have hardship and things going wrong and it's a molehill and you'll change it into a mountain by speaking to it, by adding dirt. Did you know that problems grow when you talk about them? I've learned that. But God says your faith will grow if you talk about it, if you speak my word, if your word is in my mouth. How do we get saved? What's it say? That we believe in our heart and we say with our, and confession is made unto salvation. We believe and we say. We are cooperating. You and I are co-laborers with God. I didn't set that up. He did. He'll do his part, but I have to do my part. A lot of people are in a stuck place and they're blaming God and where are you and my job's awful and I thought I'd be here somewhere else and I thought this and I thought that. And they even go into their prayer time and the Lord says, they tell me all their problems and then they leave and they count it prayer. And they haven't given me one thing to work with. They haven't connected with me on what I promised. And I just feel like it doesn't mean he doesn't want to hear your heartache. We all know he's a good father. He's tender. He's compassionate. But he's asking us to partner with him and said, God, and this is an example. I'll say, Lord, I just feel like I don't know where you are. But I know what the word says. You're an ever-present help in time of trouble. I know that your word says you'll never leave me or forsake me. I know that you said the plans you have for me are so good. They're full of a future and a hope. I can say as little as three scriptures and totally be in a different place. But God didn't do that for me. He required that of me. He didn't do it. I had to do it. So I want to ask you, I felt like the Lord says, my people have what they've been saying. And I want them to say what I told them they could have and watch things change. I feel like that's his invitation. And I really have done life with enough people over the last 57 years, and I've heard this again and again. Oh, Beth, I didn't mean it. Then why'd you say it? Oh, I didn't really mean that. And what you're doing is you're handing tools, you're handing ammunition to the enemy to destroy you. You cannot say ignorantly, I didn't mean it. Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God's talking about his chosen ones being destroyed because they didn't know, they didn't learn, they didn't engage in what they were supposed to do. And so yesterday, I think God is so funny. He said, you know, Beth, people just say, oh, God knows my heart. He says, I know their heart by what they're saying. I know their heart by what they're doing. Scripture says that's a total indication of the location of your heart. He said, but what's interesting, Beth, is they come to my word and say, oh, that, I didn't really mean that, right? And he goes, not one person would decide the rules for skydiving. They wouldn't say, oh, well, you know what? That doesn't really apply to me. I'm going to take my old high school backpack, and I saw on YouTube I could make this parachute, and, you know, I don't have to jump out when they say. And I started laughing so hard because the Lord was just dialoguing with me about natural people would never go and decide how they were going to jump out of an airplane and decide how they were going to land based on what they thought. or that doesn't apply to me. I don't have to have an instructor. I don't have to have, you know. And I thought, God, you are so fun because we take liberty in the kingdom that we're not supposed to. He's the potter and the clay. God, this hasn't been working for me. So what it tells me is maybe I'm not working it the right way. What do you want to readjust in me? And the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. I say, God, would you create in me a clean heart? Would you renew a right spirit within me? Because, you guys, I can't do that myself. And I could be so ornery and awful without God. But he has set before me a goal of being so transformed that when people see me, they know that God's alive. And that won't happen apart from his word working in me and me saying, God, I need that. And he'll say, Beth, you need to change that. Oh, I was believing wrong. Sorry. But I don't take on condemnation. I take his forgiveness just like that because his word says that. So if you're blowing it, stop it. Stop today. If you're getting drunk every Friday night and you're saying, at least it's only Friday, stop it. God said, don't get drunk. Watch what he'll do for you. I mean, seriously, just simply take him at his word. But don't take condemnation because the word says there's no condemnation for you. Don't pick up past failures. Anything you pick up from the past and bring to your present controls you. Stop it. He's your reward. He says, hey, Beth, will you diligently seek me? Yeah, what's that look like? The way Tim diligently seeks God is not the same way Beth diligently seeks God. If all of you take out your phone right now and said, give me directions home. Isn't it fascinating? Your phone knows where you live. Every one of us would ask the same question. And every one of us would have different directions. Please live your life fully. But you cannot live full and free if your words aren't right. Internally, what's come against you and what you're speaking out your mouth. I feel like it's really important that we honor God. Do you know how in Revelation it says we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Did you know that Abraham had a word and he kept giving his testimony before he was ever a father of a multitude? Do you know that he kept speaking what God said before he ever saw it? You guys, his word of his testimony caused him to overcome and inherit the promise. We're not going to get shortcut. How does faith come? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing words. Did you know you can plug that into a negative setting? Faith comes by hearing the wrong words in the negative setting of you'll never succeed, you'll never have this, you'll never, whatever. So what kind of faith are you building? What are you listening to? What words are coming in? What are you filtering or what are you not filtering? Because it's important. I'm going to end with this. I feel like the Lord said, I'm going to go back to the Hosea. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. A lot of people want to say they're being destroyed because the devil's so big and bad and ugly and powerful. And God says, no, you're destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you'd know he was a defeated foe and he was stripped of all of his powers and made a mockery of on the cross, the word says that Satan would not have crucified the King of Glory had he known that that was his overthrow. So the Lord said, Beth, I want you to go over to Ephesians where it talks about the armor of God. And it's awesome. It's important. I don't think we take it off. I think we are just aware that it's constant. But he says, you know those fiery darts? He goes, those are words. Those are thoughts. Those are things the enemy is continually slinging at my people. But their shield of faith is supposed to quench it. And that shield of faith becomes so real and so big and so solid when they use my word. When they say what I've said, I back it up. Did you know that when the angel showed up to Mary, what did she say after she was like, this, how can this be? I mean, she was just like us, no way, you're wrong house, this isn't right. Then he explained it again, and she said, be it done unto me according to your word. We give permission to God for his word to be alive and prosper like he wanted it to. Like the rain and the snow comes from heaven, comes to the earth, and accomplishes what it does. The Bible says, would you put up that first picture of a seed? What kind of seed do you think that is? Those are carrot seeds. Do they look anything like carrots? Words are so important, you guys. The Bible literally teaches, if you study this out, we could spend days on this. Every word of God has the power within it to perform itself. Those, will you show the next picture? Are those. Did they look like that? No. And I have a really important question. Why do we call redheads carrot tops when the tops are green? I don't know. Anyway, so spiritual. But what I'm saying is God's word over your life, over the promise, over your business, over your marriage. I have people in my life that said, you know, I'm just better off not being married. I said, the Bible says you're better being married to the one you're married to. Or whatever it is, the word of God says this. But what people need to know is God has hope for them to change their situation. He's not just saying stick it out and suck it up. He's saying, what's my promise say? You find his promise and you apply it and watch your situation change. You know? But when we start taking what we want and trying to apply the word of God, we get really skewed. But if we say your word has life and that seed will produce what you said, I'm going to trust you. So I just want to pray for you and just ask that the Lord would take whatever this means. How are your words? Will you be bold enough to say, how are my words? How are my internal words that nobody knows but God? How are the words that I've let stick and be labels? Are they right? Are they what God says, or do I need to rip some off? And then I want to challenge you. What are you speaking? Because I promise you, God cannot lie. And he says, you'll get what you say. And this isn't just me saying it once. You know? And I won't go and say I'm a platypus and I'll become a platypus. I'm talking about I want to become the daughter of the Most High that he paid a high price for, that I would walk in the fullness of everything he ordained, that before one of my days began, he had a plan. And you know, a lot of people just say, well, whatever God wants will happen. No. The angel said to Mary, this is what's possible. And she goes, be it done unto me according to your word. Could that be your new word today? Be it done unto me, God, according to your word. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it will never return to you void. I thank you that it says that it's so powerful that it will reveal the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. It will go really deep. And what I know is we can trust you, Holy Spirit, to go really deep, because anything you expose is for our health. It's for our good. It's for our hope. It's for our healing. And we just submit to you. We're a work in progress, but if we're going down the wrong road because we're believing the wrong thing, speaking the wrong thing, would you interrupt us? Would you offer us life where we spoke death? Your word says the power of life and death is in the tongue, and we will eat the fruit thereof. We want to eat life because you've prepared life. We want to walk in fullness. So rearrange us. We're your kids. You bought us at a high price. And we say, have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.